but he was a Christian. Now, whilst I was quite interested, the fact that he was a Christian, I wasn't really that much interested in it. And I also told about an alchemy course, and I went off and did these sorts of, went and did that, and completely forgetting about this clairvoyant. Through a whole lot of circumstances, I found myself, Tony and I found ourselves in Adelaide. And one day I had come back from a function I'd been to, and I dropped in to see a person I knew who sold rare fruit and nut trees, who was also a student of Paramahansa Yogananda. And out of the blue, he said to me, "You should marry Tanya." And I thought, well, that's ridiculous, because to me, a marriage was a piece of paper. It was irrelevant. It was, you know, did you love the people or not? And I just thought, silly, and drove off. But it kept coming back into my mind all the time. And eventually, I followed by impulse and said to Tanya, "Would you like to marry me?" And she was a bit stunned, but said yes. And so she was then looking for a celebrant to marry us. And she happened in this bookshop that was in Adelaide at the time called Cosmic Pages. It was sort of like an alternative New Age bookshop. They had a directory. And she found the Reverend Lynn Sellers' name in there from the Independent Church of Australia. So she rang Lynn, and they got on very well. And Lynn said, "Well, you should come along to a service," which I wasn't that keen on. So I went there, and the centre emblem of the cross, I was quite fascinated because of the symbolism, and having been studying alchemy, there's a lot of symbolism where you need to sort of look into that, into the symbolism. And but Lynn was fabulous, and I enjoyed it, and we sort of kept going back there. And then Mario came. He would come to visit Adelaide every now and again and stay with Lynn and Henri. And he, after the service, and I was sort of looking at this chap who's, you know, who is this person? I was a bit, you know, sus of him, but you know, something about him. We went outside, and Mario was sitting on a chair having a cigarette, and Lynn introduced me to Mario and said, "Oh, Mario, this is Ross. He's a student of Rudolf Steiner's." And I stood there and looked at Mario, and he just sort of looked at me, you know, the way he would look at you. And he then said, "The only difference between me and Rudolf Steiner is that he's dead and I'm alive." And I thought, what audacity. And, but then at the same time I thought, I think he's right. So over the years, I would go up to Mario and ask him a few questions about, you know, Max Heinl said this or da da da, and he'd just go, and walk off. But over time, I started talking to him, and one day he came to the Adelaide Centre and he bought this new radio mic, and basically it was sort of fairly new technology to make it reliable and small. I was down the back because I needed to record it with the receiver. And he gave the sermon, and this wasn't a very good system. And basically, you couldn't really hear what he said in the sermon because of the interference. So after, and he was going to give a discourse later, which needed to be recorded. And so I thought, we'll do something about this. So I was walking around, and people had finished the sermon, and they were chatting away. And I'm walking around the hall with the receiver and the transmitter, visiting all the energies that were flowing to find a spot where he could give this discourse, which is almost like me going over to the bookcase there. There wasn't any interference. And as I'm doing this, quite intent in visualising the energies, I suddenly had this feeling I was being watched, and I looked up, and there's Mario staring at me. And at that point, I thought, he's reading my thoughts. I knew that. So then time went on, and the last time he came to Adelaide, I can't remember exactly what it was. There was something to do with Heather Tan, and he was there, and I think Antoinette, Colin might have been there, and Lynn and Henri. And in the Adelaide Centre, there's it's a hall, and there's a side room where, which was an office where the priest would be before the, and the assistants before the start of the service, and they come out and this sort of thing. So Mario's in there with everybody, with Lynn and that, with the radio mic there, turned on, so I'm down the back of the room, the receiver and a tape recorder. So I'm listening to what's going on because it's on all the time. And suddenly there's this conversation starts, and I couldn't relate it because he was like, he was talking to me, but he wouldn't be saying that to the people, and it just didn't make sense to the people in the room. And I'm sort of going, what? And then I realised that he was actually talking to me in my head.
Mm.
He wasn't talking through the radio mic system. He was talking to me in my head.
Mm.
And and I can't remember what he told me, unfortunately. And that was quite a profound experience. And then afterwards, when everybody was leaving, he just said goodbye, Mario, give him a hug, you know, and let go. So he gave him this hug, and he held on, and he held on, and he held on for this inordinately long length of time. And he said goodbye to me. That was the last time I saw him. But what had happened then was, that also at the same time, I was quite, well, a bit prior to that, I was quite happy to be an ordinary bums on seat member of the centre. I wasn't the slightest bit interested in becoming an initiate because of all the stuff, do that, etc., etc. And Lynn Sellers said, I'd like you to become an initiate at the centre. And I said, I don't want to be an initiate. She said, I think you should be.
Mm.
And she was quite persuasive. And then she suggested I should give a sermon.
Which you're good at. Yes, really good.
Anyway. which I did, and so I and became an initiate and went to Melbourne and got to meet Colin on a one-to-one basis. And then time went on where, due to redundancies at the ABC where I was working, I had to come back to Melbourne because I just couldn't do my business, which is building and repairing studio equipment in Adelaide, in Sleepy Town. And mm-hmm. So I came back to Melbourne and I found a little bit of work. I was staying, a lot of the time I was staying at a friend's mother's back room. And then I started going to the centre where once a month they'd have it at the, I think it was the Deaf place. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then all these other groups would meet. And I was in this group, I think it was in South Melbourne somewhere, that David Perry ran. And I met people there that I became good friends with, and at the same time I had this urge that I'd like to become a priest, and I didn't know why, but I just had this very powerful message, urge, and I wrote a letter to Antoinette, and Antoinette wrote back saying, well, you know, I told you how priestly qualities, da 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 da, and it was sort of an open-ended. Didn't say no, didn't say yes. So that was fine. And at this one Sunday service, David said, I won't be here next Sunday. We should have an agape. Yep. And who should we get to do the agape? And everybody turned to me and looked at me, which was sort of threw me a bit, and said, Ross can do it. It was quite remarkable. But I thought, oh, that's good, because I've never done anything like that before. And on the Wednesday following that Sunday, I got a phone call from Robert John, who said to me, you haven't been paying your tithings. And I said, no, well, because I don't have, you know, I'm doing a little bit of work. I do put in, you know, into the collection and at the, you know, during the service. And he said, well, because you haven't been paying your tithings, you're not doing the agape.
Oh.
And I thought, I was a bit stunned at that. And then I got angry and wrote a rude letter to Antoinette and completely forgot all about becoming a priest. It just completely left my mind. My studies went on to other areas, into Paul Foster cases, John mentioned yesterday. In those areas, and also at the time, Fabian and Marie Martin used to come to the Adelaide Centre, and I got to know them quite well. Tony and I got to know him quite well. Some years later, Fabian calls and says, "Oh, I'd like to come around and visit." And I said, "Yes, come for lunch." So Fabian came for lunch, and afterwards we went outside and having a cigarette. And Fabian said to us, to me and to Tanya, "Would you like to be free priest, ordained as free priest?" And I just went, "Yes." suddenly out of the blue. And so that happened. I had a rose empowerment and that happened. And then it brings us to the last 2 years, which have been, from a personal point of view, challenging to say the least. A moment where I was in total despair, it came to me that basically I need to be here to do the work of the Brotherhood, whatever that is. And that, in a sense, fortified me. Previously, where I didn't want to become an initiate, I wasn't interested in doing that, I hadn't even considered the privilege of being elevated. And so here we are. Thank you very much.
Wow.